Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape 91.3, welcome back. Don't forget, after 5, Yvonne Ridley chats to Yasin Kippy. Our WhatsApp number is 072-238-0712. Maybe you got something to say. SMS 47913. And, of course, we're on Twitter. And, of course, we're also on Facebook. So lots of ways to communicate, lots of ways to chat to us. To matters at hand, 70% of Africa's 1 billion population is employed in the agricultural sector. To achieve continental growth and socio-economic development and realize the aspirations of the African Union's Agenda 2063, it is essential to provide the full potential of this sector. Online is Dr. Dawn Nagar, Senior Researcher at the Center for Conflict Resolution. Dr. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Shafiq.
This is certainly a very staggering statistic, whereas most of the world is urbanizing and has urbanized, we still have 70% of our population out on the land in the agricultural sector, good or bad?
I think it's a fantastic opportunity for the continent because we really can pull our resources together now, looking at our comparative advantage and really grow our economies. Yeah, if we look at and invest more in the agriculture sector and peg it down to the Agenda 2063's aspirations of agro-processing, Shafiq. So yes, it is a very good thing.
And of course, agriculture isn't going to go away, because if it does, we're all going to starve to death. It's as simple as that. That the agricultural sector is absolutely vital to the survival of any population. Isn't one of the plus sides here the fact that other parts of the world are probably going to be looking at food security issues, but in Africa, on Africa, we're sitting right on top of it at the moment, and that we are in a position where we can actually do something about it before things get too bad.
No, that is true, Shafiq. I think we, like I said, we have an opportunity to diversify our commodities more instead of just producing and trading raw commodities, for example, cocoa or palm oil, or nothing beyond that is being done, or this particular example, this public dialogue, actually, this discussion is pegged on a public dialogue that will be held on Thursday. And the public dialogue is linked to a seminar that is specifically looking at agro-processing in the leather and leather products, to give you an example, and what can one do from hides or leather hides instead of just trading raw products across international markets without looking at value chains. So that is what we what is very important for the continent to realize, and what we would be discussing over the next few days.
Indeed. In fact, I was going to bring it to the public dialogue, which you've mentioned, and it's called Civil Society's Region Building Role in South Africa's Agro-Processing Sector. It takes place on Thursday, the 19th of October, at the Center for the Book, from 5:30 till 7 o'clock in the evening, so everybody can come and attend it.
Yes, we would really like it specifically, and particularly those sectors in the trade and industry. Though many trade industries closed down a few years ago, and South Africa's government has really tried to look at the lessons learned and trying to beef up the employment sectors within the trade industry. Many textile industries closed down due to poor policies, poor trade policies. So all these, but those participants and groups of people and communities would be welcome just to get their input on how they see agriculture and processing within the agriculture sector.
And of course, the model that you are using, the one, for example, of raw hides and skin, how many animals are slaughtered across Africa and nothing much happens to the leather afterwards? What a precious commodity that is, and how much more employment could be gained if every single time people slaughtered animals, that they were, if they knew that if they started to process the leather and took it to a central point, that there'd be money in it for them, and that those waiting to receive the leather would have jobs, and those making things out of the leather would also have jobs. It's a whole food chain, isn't it? Literally.
Absolutely. You are right. We contribute, we are the globally, we contribute to the largest producer of rawhide, Africa is. And but from the $120 billion that the leather industry produces, the total global leather industry is worth that $120 billion. Africa just contributes $4 billion. So that is the it doesn't add up. The economics is not adding up. If you look at that.
No, it certainly is, it certainly isn't, you know.
There is a gap. There's a problem.
And how quick do you think one can turn something like this around? Because if one starts to show communities the way to do these things, they're going to pick up very quickly. I have the utmost confidence that they will, because all of us need jobs. And when people see opportunities and when they see creativity, they're definitely going to respond to it.
Yeah. You see, South Africa, for example, like this particular seminar is plugged in, into South Africa as the leader. Now, I'll respond from that perspective. We are surely not the know-it-all, and we've already started really looking at partnerships, regional partnerships, and linked to a tripartite agreement with the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa and with the East African community, to which 26 countries in the whole belong. And South Africa is one of those. So I'll respond to you from that point that it's important that we, things have already started happening. So it is not to say that nothing has happened. A lot of research has been put into this by the Department of Trade and Industry. Mm-hmm. And we can certainly learn from that research. It shouldn't just be done and shelved. And then policies have started to be formulated. But we need to, bring business and government and all the key parties to the table, and to discuss value-driven industrialization. What does that mean? To discuss where are the short skills for the services sector in the leather industry. Where are the gaps? Do we have enough technology and research? And leather industry is quite technical, and so when one bring all these people around in a room, you can look at where the policy makers are making sense, or if it's just something that's just not workable. Some of our leather industries and sectors are still closing down. Africa Hide, for example, closed a few weeks ago in Port Elizabeth, which is very sad. So one need to know, why did that happen? It's a progressive business. Why do it close the stores? And the rules of origin within these garments are maybe too steep for these businesses to manage or to handle or to cope with international markets and international pressure. I don't know all those answers, but this is an opportunity that we're looking at, one, how to address that issue so that we don't kill our larger industries, and then secondly, very importantly, how to build smaller industries, African entrepreneurship. If we talk about economic transformation, how do you want to build our smaller industries so they can have an opportunity to input into these larger industries? Sorry, Shafiq, just a small example. I'm making a bag and I'm a major industry. How can I contribute my product and also benefit from the profits, that type of thing.
No, absolutely.
That is job creation, sorry.
Yeah, the next question I was going to ask, you know, we always talk about investment, and when you hear investment, one just hears dollar signs, but don't you think that what we need is an investment of ideas? And if people buy into ideas, it's easy to say this, but things just become a lot easier. Things tend to flow from these ideas rather than somebody coming with money and just throwing money at a vague concept. An idea is something that you execute.
Yes, absolutely. There must first be an understanding before one can get to buy-in. Because, as you know, businesses and business interests, it's a selfish industry.
Absolutely.
But once you understand that if I can actually, if I learn or understand, really, I think any business model should understand what the concept of value addition is and how does it really work and where can I benefit. Does it mean if I share that I'm going to grow less, or I want the whole pie instead of sharing the pie and looking at the spiral effects of that, which is really big, and that is what we need to learn. So in any event, what we are also bringing into the room, and we'd like to have the public dialogue, participants of the public dialogue, to have the exposure of our participants. They're bringing in quite high quality research professors that has been worked for many years on agro-processing and leather industry from Ethiopia and from Kenya, and they're the real experts. So they will be invited to the public dialogue, and the public and the audience will have the benefit of them. And we are very fortunate to have Dr. Nkosana Moyo. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nkosana Moyo, he's the Executive Chairman of Mandela Institute for Development Studies, to provide a presentation, as well as Mr. Nigel Gwynne-Evans. He's the Chief Director of African Integration and Industrial Development from South Africa's Department of Trade and Industry, and he will be as well a guest speaker at the public dialogue on Thursday. And we're also very lucky to have Professor Brian Williams, visiting professor of the Peace Mediation and Conflict Transformation University of Lusaka, Zambia, chairing the session. So we're looking really forward to a robust conversation, and then the next day we'll have a more formal seminar with some of the key actors, and we're quite excited to have this.
It sounds really good, getting things going at a practical level. But if you've been listening to us right now and you're interested in agro-processing, civil society's region-building role in South Africa's agro-processing sector, if you go to the Center for the Book, 1730 until 9 o'clock, you'll listen to a panel of experts talking.
1900 hours, sorry.
Until 1900 hours. That's in the evening, so 5:30 in the evening to 1900 hours in the evening. A team of professionals talking about agro-processing, something very important and lots of opportunities. But Dr. Dawn Nagar, Senior Researcher at the Conflict Center for Conflict Resolution, thanks for chatting to us, and everything of the best for Thursday and Friday.
Thank you so much, Shafiq. It's really fantastic talking to you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.